Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you all for coming. Our prayer is that this morning will be a morning of encouragement. You know, when we look at all that God has given us, how He has made it possible that we are able to be His people, we have a lot to be thankful for. We know that today is Pentecost, and we know that Pentecost is another of God's gifts that God wants to impart upon all people. Another confirmation of God's love, and that God is who He says He is, that He has not come to condemn, but to save. John 3, verse 17. God's love gives when we were yet sinners, a position that is pure and holy, and yet it contradicts the mentality of the world. And I believe even ourselves often as when we don't think of who we are in Christ. So with that, let's start off with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Another reminder that you are God, that our days and nights and our revolving seasons are on a very constant timetable, just as you have told us, and as only a just and loving and an all-powerful and all-knowing God is able to do. And Lord God, as you have established the heavens and the earth, so you have also established the means of our salvation, becoming human and yet retaining your dignity, taking upon yourself our weaknesses, our sin, and taking them to that cruel cross and suffering death, and rising again and defeating death, and then with the gift of the Holy Spirit radiating all believers with a hope that helps us as believers to both believe and follow you in a quietness and peace that is powerful, a powerful that is able to only come from you. Lord God, as we think of your love to the world, a love that provides unselfishly at every level of our necessities, we thank you for being who you are, a God who is holy, a holiness that cannot be without persevering or long-suffering, love making possible all those attributes that you teach us throughout your word. And Lord God, as we consider this gifting to your church, help us to continue in this your love, a love that alone is able to conquer the futility of our own understanding. Lord God, we also thank you for all that are making themselves present to this worship service and for the prayers that are accompanying them. We also pray for Sarthi as he leads our worship hour. May you lead him and empower him in your holy word. And may we all be motivated and strengthened and continuing to be your true witnesses. Lord God, to your honor and to your glory, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And now we'll start off with a couple songs, and then Sarthia will take the pulpit.
Let's take our red books and turn to number 132. Come with thy sins to the fountain. 132.
Mercy is Let's turn to page 177, Jesus My Lord.
Jesus My Lord, to Thee I cry, unless Thou help me, I must die. Oh, bring Thy free salvation nigh, and take me as I am, and take me as I am, and take me as I am. My only plea, Christ died for me. Oh, take me as I am. Helpless I am and full of guilt, but yet for me Thy blood was spilled, and Thou canst make me what Thou wilt, and take me as I am, and take me as I am. And take me as I am. My only plea, Christ died for me. Oh, take me as I am. No preparation can I make. My best resolves I only break. Yet save me for Thine own name's sake. And take me as I am, and take me as I am, and take me as I am. My only plea, Christ died for me. Oh, take me as I am.
Today we have Sarthya Annamala here. Over here we write out our donation checks to Rural Compassion. It's a fundraising arm for Annamala's ministry in India. It's called Bible Brethren there. I believe it is in the front of your bulletins. Sarthya, he works on the ground doing the work of the ministry, trying to get working to have the people come to a knowledge come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We know when he tells a story, he has often told us how hard it is for people to get away from what they believe themselves is right, and yet they continue working, they continue teaching a gospel that the Lord himself has made powerful for us to be able to believe. And so now I will invite Sarthya to minister.
Good morning. It's just a privilege for me to stand here. I just praise God for the opportunity that he has given to me, and also would like to thank the pastor and the board for allowing me to share what the Lord has laid on my heart, and also a little bit about what we do back home in India. So I try to be as much as you. I mean to say, follow the procedure. In India, we do a little different, but yet I want to uphold the traditions of the church. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come into your presence, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that you open our understanding. Lord, as we are meditating upon your word, give us the wisdom, Lord. Speak to us through your word. And may only you be glorified in all this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, the message for all of us this morning, and we know it is Pentecost Day, and then I would also would like to speak a little bit on the Pentecost and how it all started and how God gave the ordinances right from the beginning. So when we look at the scriptures, we see that everything was planned very well. You know, when we look at the fall of Adam and Eve, generally people think that the plan of God started when Adam and Eve fell. But when we look at the scriptures, it simply says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which was slain before the foundations of the earth were laid." Which means to say, God knew that man would fall. There's nothing new to God that has happened when Adam and Eve sinned. In the same way, Pentecost is a timetable given by God himself. So when we look at Leviticus chapter 23, we have the seven festivals of the Jews. These seven festivals, the first four festivals, they are symbolic of the first coming of Jesus Christ. And the three festivals from 5 to 7 are symbolic of the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when we look at Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 4, it says, "These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons." The seasons were already established by God himself. It was a timetable that God has given to the people of Israel through Moses, his servant. And the first festival of the Jews is the Passover. It says, first month, verse 5, "In the 14th day of the first month, at even is the Lord's Passover." First month, 14th day, is the first festival of the Jews, which is the Passover. And we know Jesus is our Passover. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth were laid. And John himself in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29, it says, "Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. He has come into this world to take away the sin of the world." And this was a timetable given at least 2,000 years before Jesus Christ came onto the face of the earth. And Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And Passover, we see Jesus Christ had the Last Supper. He ate the Passover meal. And that night he would go to pray, and that's when he was arrested. And the second festival of the Jews, we see, is the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Israelites were supposed to celebrate for 1 week, which means to say from day 15 of the first month to day 21. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread was celebrated. So in which means to say, right from the 14th day of the first month till the 21st day of the first month, they used to eat only the unleavened bread. The unleavened bread, the Hebrews call it matzah. Matzah is the unleavened bread. And they also used to eat the leavened bread, which was called challah. Challah in Hebrew. So the unleavened bread is symbolic of the sinless body of our Savior Jesus Christ. We don't use leaven when we take communion as well, because it symbolizes the sinless life, sinless body of our Savior Jesus Christ. He is our unleavened bread. And that's why Jesus Christ says, "Whoever eats of my body will live forever." So everything was planned already. Nothing was new. People who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and the scriptures, they understood what Christ was speaking when he was on the face of the earth. But people who did not understand, but we look at the Pharisees, they didn't want to understand. They were always looking for some words from Christ where, you know, they were trying to find fault with him all the time. And some, they didn't want to understand. They were coming to Christ for their own benefits, you know, for blessings, for healings, for miracles. People came, but they failed to understand the very essence of why Christ came onto the face of the earth. He was the Passover lamb. He came to give life, his own life, his precious life, to be shed for each one of us. And then the third festival is the festival of the first fruits. The festival of the first fruits is after the Sabbath. And we know Sabbath for the Jews is Saturday. Sabbath for the Jews is Saturday. So first month, 14th day, you have the Passover. From the 15th day to the 21st day, which is 1 week, they celebrate the unleavened bread. And the first month, 18th day, is the festival of first fruits. And we know when Jesus rose from the dead, he rose on a Sunday, which was after the Sabbath. Once the Sabbath was done, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Every festival was symbolic about Jesus Christ. They were speaking about Jesus Christ. Even Jesus Christ said that, "The law and the prophets, they testify about me." And when we look at the festivals of the Jews, they were testifying about Jesus Christ, that he is going to come, he's going to lay his life. And then on the 18th day, first month, 18th day, which means to say after 3 days, he rose again from the dead. And from there, you see, counting from the 19th day of the first month, they were supposed to count 7 weeks. 7 weeks is 49 days. And the next day is the 50th day. Pentecost simply means 50th day. And on the Pentecost, you see the Holy Spirit of God was given. When the disciples were praying in the upper room, the Spirit of God, they were filled by the Spirit of God. So it was all planned. You know, well before people could understand. Everything was revealed in the life of Jesus Christ. My dear church, the reason I bring all of this out is because I want you to know that we serve a great God who knows everything. He is from eternity to eternity. He knows us all, even before we were born. Even before we were born, He died for us. We have a great God that we serve. Your life and my life is secure in the hands of our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's no need for us to worry. And then, the 50th day is the Pentecost. Pentecost was also the harvest festival of the Jews. And you see, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter started preaching the gospel, 3,000 of them were saved on that day. That was the first harvest. It was all symbolic of the first coming of Jesus Christ, the sending off the Holy Spirit of God. And then you see in the first chapter of Acts where it says, Jesus Christ was with them for 40 days after his resurrection. And then you have the ascension. And he said, pray in one accord. And the disciples did the same. They were praying in one accord when they were in the upper room. And after 9 days, on the 10th day, they received the Holy Spirit. Everything was so meticulously planned by God. If it were for human wisdom, this would have not been happening. But except for God, who could plan it so well every day? In other version, it's called, these were the appointed times, it says. The appointed times where Christ had to lay his life. These were the appointed times where he would raise from the dead again. These were the appointed times where the Holy Spirit of God was supposed to come. And after that, everything shifts to the seventh month. The fifth festival is the festival of the trumpets. The sixth festival is the festival of the atonement. And the seventh festival is the festival of the tabernacles. We see everything in the 23rd chapter of Leviticus. So if you and I are sitting here, and even Prophet Joel speaks about it. Joel, he speaks about the outpouring of the Spirit. Everything was prophesied in such a way that it aligned with every scripture. The Word of God always aligned itself with other scriptures. What Moses speaks, Joel also speaks. What Joel speaks, Luke also writes the same thing in Acts chapter 2. The Spirit of God was sent upon them at the appointed time. It was the appointed time of the Lord that the Spirit of God would be sent. And it was sent on the day of Pentecost. Not a day before, not a day later. These are the appointed times. Imagine something like this. No one can do it so meticulously, so perfectly, except for God Himself. And that is a God who you and I serve. A God who is selfless. He left His heavenly glories for you and for me. The more we understand him, the more we ask God for wisdom so that we might understand him better day by day. Our life becomes so selfless. There's only one thing that we can do, is to love people. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. He laid his life for the sinners. So selfless. So selfless. He loved people to an extent of laying his life. And back home in India, when we look at the ministry that God has given to each one of us, go ye therefore and proclaim the gospel. Starting from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world. You know, when we look down and question ourselves, if we think humanly, you're trying to help people out by giving them the gospel, and then you are persecuted because of that. It's like you want to help someone, but they're not looking at it as a help, but rather as if something strange is happening to them, and they are trying to kill you, persecute you, humiliate you. But yet we continue to do the work of the Lord because it is a command from our Savior that we go and reach people who are still living in the darkness. You know, when we understand God this way, it's so easy for us to offer our lives to him. It is so easy for us to yield our will to the will of God. Otherwise, if you're living in this world just for the sake of living, calling ourselves Christians, calling ourselves children of God, you know, the scripture says if you don't do it, sometimes, you know, we live worse than the unbelievers, the Gentiles, the heathen. Life of a believer should be filled with the love of God. Life of a believer should be selfless, always willing to help. And what kind of help am I looking for? Not the financial help, not the moral help. No, those will all follow, but saving someone with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is the greatest blessing that you and I can bless someone with. Because that remains forever. And in that, God is your co-worker. Jesus Christ is your co-worker. The Holy Spirit is your co-worker. He does all the work and gives the person who yielded to him the credit. My dear church, it's a challenge for each one of us this morning. We serve a great God. A God who knows everything. He's a God who looks at your heart and your mind. Not your works, but your attitude. How are we when we look at the scriptures? The more we know God, the easier it is for us to understand it is not about us anymore. It is all about him. The more we know him, it is easier for us to stand up and say, I am willing to deny myself. The more intimate you and I are with God, the more easy it is for us to say, I will carry the cross every day. You know, the only one question that God would ask each one of us when we go there, how many did you bring? How many did you witness? Do you and I have the answer? If yes, praise God. If no, this is a good time to start. You know, understanding God is so, so very important. Understanding the scriptures, they speak about Jesus Christ all the way. A man of God said, if you remove Jesus Christ from the scriptures, he said it is just an historical book. Jesus is the center point of the scriptures, right from Genesis to Revelation. May God give us this understanding. You know, everything was so well planned. Every day was appointed. Every day was appointed. And when I say that, the coming of the Lord for you and me is also an appointed day. That would happen for sure. And you and I are looking for that day, that you and I would meet our Savior one day, see him face to face. What greater joy can overcome this? Being a Christian is so personal. It is between you and God. It is so personal. The closest relationship that can come, you know, on the face of the earth is the relationship between a husband and wife, the intimacy that they share. But greater than that is the relationship God wants to build with each one of us, between him and you and me. God is personal. God is personal. Let's close our eyes and pray. And after that, we'll have a song, and I'll come back. Yeah. Also request you all to kindly pray for India, and also for the message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stick our blue book, turn to number 391, I Surrender All. 391. Let's all stand.
I just got a pat from Pastor Art, so I'm doing well. Yeah. One thing is difficult for an Indian is to speak less. Because, you know, back home, our messages at least be for an hour or so. So we called a speaker from the city, and he spoke in our church, and he spoke for half hour. And then he sat. And the congregation said, "Speak, give us more." He said, "My message is over." You know, that's how it is back home, and the people are, there's great hunger for the Word of God. So when I come here, the good thing with me is when I know when I'm starting, but I forget to look at my watch every time. And I keep it aside like this. Oh, it's 11:10. I have to stop at 11:30. But I forget to look at the watch. You know, it does happen. But not today. Not today. Yeah. So as we are looking at the Old Testament, that it was all in the appointed times that God himself has planned so that Jesus Christ would come and he would die on the cross, and then on the 18th day, he would rise from the dead, and on the 50th day, after the first fruit, the Holy Spirit of God would be given. So it was so well planned. And if you can look at, we are not going to read everything, but Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, you see, the Son of Man would be taken. The Son of Man would be taken after the 69th week, which means to say he is going to die. He's going to die. And these were all appointed times. Nothing new for someone who understood the gospel. And even for Nicodemus, when he came to Jesus Christ and he said, "I believe that you are from God, because what all things that you are doing, you can only do it only when you have God with you." You know, being a Pharisee, he humbled himself. And when he humbled himself before God, God gave him the gospel. It always fascinates me that John 3:16, which is the most popular verse in the Bible all over the world, was spoken to Nicodemus. You know, gospel will only be given to those who humble themselves. A person who thinks that he can do something to get saved will never understand the gospel. But someone who humbles himself or herself and understands they are not worthy and they cannot do anything except to come to the Savior, only to them they would understand the gospel. And that's why it's very important for us to understand our position before Christ. What kind of people we are without Christ. And the scripture is very, very clear in saying that. He said, Jesus Christ came for the lost, he says. Which means to say, I am the lost person. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, which means to say, I am that sinner. Jesus Christ, you know, came to the lost sheep, which means to say, I am that lost sheep. Understanding who we are without Christ would actually enable us to understand better what Christ has done for us. Sometimes, you know, we take things so for granted, you know, because we are born into a Christian family. We don't really understand the intensity and the magnanimity of what Christ has done for us on the cross. Back home, if we are able to do something like this, it's because we understand how much Christ has done for us. Even willing to lay our life for the sake of the gospel. And for a believer, it is so easy because he is safe and secure in the hands of our life is safe and secured in the hands of our Savior. That's why Paul was able to say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. No person from any religion can say this with this kind of confidence. Paul could say that because he understood God in such a way where he said, even if I am dying, I am going to see my Savior face to face, which is much more better for me. But for your sakes, he says, you know, I would like to be here for some more time so that you would grow into the fullness of Christ, that you might know God well. The more we know him, the more we will be like him. The reason we are not like him because we don't know him. Who God is. Yeah, we know that Jesus Christ is God. That's good. But do you know him the way he is? If you and I know him the way he is, you and I would be like him. People can see Christ in and through us. Even if you and I are not speaking, just by the way that we behave, people would know Christ. Proclamation, being witness, is not only by words that we speak, but also by our behavior, by the way that we live our life on the face of the earth. When people look at us, they would say, these people are different. Back home, that happens very much. We don't swear. We don't get irritated. You know, God is patient with us. We also want to be patient. You're not worried about the situations. You're not afraid of anyone because God is our guide. He's our protector. He takes care of everything. Life becomes so easy. Life becomes so easy. It says in Matthew, come to me, all ye labor. I will give you rest. When you and I know Jesus Christ, you and I have entered that rest. Rest simply means ceasing from work. Not working for anything, ceasing from work. We have entered rest, eternal rest. There's no need for us to work for anything. The speciality of Christianity, the speciality of this book, the good news in the Bible is this, that Christ has done everything for us. You and I need not do anything. You and I are supposed to simply believe, for by grace are you saved through faith, and it is not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Salvation is not because of yourself or myself, your good works or my good works. It is because of what Christ has done for us. He paid it all for us. He paid it all for us on the cross. He lived a sinless life. He was that perfect sacrifice for the redemption of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Hebrews chapter 9. And Jesus Christ shed that blood for you and for me. It is not about you. It is not about me. I always tell back home in India, don't look at the speaker. He's nothing. Look at the word that is coming through him. And don't believe everything that a speaker is speaking from the pulpit. Believe what the scripture says. Like the Bereans, they went back and even it was Paul and Silas, they searched the scriptures. Every believer is ought to be like that. And God is expecting that from us. The reason that he has given us the Spirit is because of that. The work of the Spirit is to convince us and convict us of our sins and bring sinner to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And after he is saved, to lead us into all biblical truth. So you and I believe in the biblical truth that the Spirit of God shows us and gives us. He gives us the understanding as we depend on him. as we yield to Him, as we surrender to Him. So here again, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, Matthew says, John the Baptist says here, I baptize you with water, but the one who is coming after me would baptize you with the Spirit. Did John the Baptist understand that? I would say no. Because his disciples, when you look at the book of Acts, when Paul speaks to them, they said, we have not known about the Spirit of God. And they were baptized again, and they received the Spirit. But everything was spoken because it had to be spoken. The Spirit of God is given to us, which also means that we are learning. Learning is a continuous process for a believer. At any point of time, no one can say we know everything. The Spirit of God is given to us that we learn continuously. And back home in India, I don't know much about Canada, but sometimes people lack, or most of the times, people know the subject, people know the word, they lose it at application. The only thing that they are lacking is application. They don't apply the word into their lives. When you and I apply the word into our lives, we find rest. And that is why Christ has come. There are many reasons why Christ has come under the face of the earth. He came to give rest to our lives. Oh, there are so many situations. It's so difficult in some of the places that we go to minister the gospel. You never know that you would be alive coming back. But you know what? There is perfect peace of God that God gives us. As a leader, I take a team along with me to these difficult places where gospel is not preached. I go with perfect peace, perfect calmness. The only thing I look back and say, Lord, if you can save a sinner like me, this is nothing for you. If you can save me eternally, to save my life, this life which is in the body, is not a big deal for you. But yet, O Lord, it is your command that we go and give the gospel to people who have not heard your name. And I just take it as a privilege that I'm working in the ministry of Bible Brethren, and God is working in and through me. And the idiom goes this way, says, privileges are always followed by responsibilities. It is my responsibility, it is my bond and duty that I proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I am born in India, I am born with a reason. I could have been born anywhere, but God has a purpose for my life that I should be born in India. So if you are born here in Canada, there is a great purpose for your life. When we yield to the Spirit of God who is in us and ask Him to give us the wisdom to know the very purpose of our life, once you know the purpose of your life, life becomes so easy. You and I would enter that rest. So here we see the Spirit of God was given. Acts chapter 1, it was prophesied again. Acts chapter 2, the Spirit of God was given. And here we see in John chapter 20, I would like to read this for us. Verse 22, or rather I'll read from 21. Then he said, Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. The disciples received the Holy Ghost when Jesus was on the face of the earth. Receiving the Holy Spirit is a one-time act in every believer's life. In the second chapter of Acts, we see they were filled by the Holy Spirit. In the fourth chapter also, we see they were filled with the Holy Spirit. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, their boldness was given to them. So filling of the Holy Spirit is a continuous process. It is a process of sanctification. Receiving of the Holy Spirit is a process of justification. Justification happens only once, through Jesus Christ. And the scripture is very clear. Whoever receives the Spirit of God are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 says, You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, which God promised. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 22 speaks about the sealing through the Holy Spirit of God, which God promised. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30 says, You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. We are saved by our Savior. We are kept by our Savior. We go there because of our Savior. There is no greatness in you and me. That is the God we serve. And when we understand this, there is so much of rest. You know, back home in India, people from other religions, there is so much of unrest in their minds because they don't know where they are going. But we know where we are going. Whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will live with him eternally. And your life and my life is so secured. If Satya does not know where he is going, then how can he preach the gospel? Only when I know I am saved, only when I know where I am going, only then I can preach boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is what the gospel of Jesus Christ gives us. The boldness to say that we are going to be with the Lord forever. Not because of us, because of him. We sang a hymn which says, for his namesake. And that is absolutely the truth. Not that we are good, not that we are worthy, but God made us worthy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. This is the good news. And people need to know the good news. The gospel unites. If I am standing, an Indian is standing and preaching in front of the Canadians, the only reason is Jesus Christ. The only reason is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we are all one in Christ Jesus. There is no difference. We are united in Jesus Christ. Divided by color, race, nations, language, but united in Christ Jesus, who is our Savior. This is a speciality. You know, when you look at the Old Testament, there were dietary laws that were given. Oh, not to eat pork. But in the church, you see, everything is clean now. There is nothing unclean. We are no more under the dietary laws. You know, in the eastern part of India, in Mizoram and Manipur, there are many Christians. They eat dogs. They eat snakes. You know, I don't know how many of you would try it, but it's very difficult for me for sure. You know, divided by the dietary laws, the eating habits. But again, yes, we are all united through the perfect work of Christ on the cross. Whoever you might be, wherever you come from, doesn't matter. The only thing that matters eventually is, do you know your Savior? If you and I know our Savior well, then that's it. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit of God who is in us is the confidence that is given to each one of us. And Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, whoever has the Spirit of God, they belong to him. Whoever does not have the Spirit of God are not his. And Pentecost was the day where the Spirit of God was given. They were filled by the Holy Spirit of God. Filling is a continuous process. As we yield our lives, as we yield our will to the will of God, he takes control. It's plero, P-L-E-R-O-O, plero. Plero means to be controlled. You know, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18 speaks about, do not be filled with wine, for in it is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Pleroste is the word used there. To be controlled. You and I are supposed to be controlled by the Spirit of God, which means to say our thinking, our ideas are not of the human wisdom, but of God's wisdom. When we yield our lives, our thinking, our attitude to God, we are controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. God is not looking at the external things that we do with our hands. No, he's more looking into our hearts to see if there is any transformation that has happened. In Matthew chapter 23, you see Jesus Christ speaks to the Pharisees and says, you're trying to clean the cup from outside. You want to be bright and shiny, white as snow, but leaving everything inside that is dirty. And he says, you're like whitewashed tombs. From outside you're white, but inside you're all dead man bones. God is looking at our heart. God is looking at our intent. God is looking at our mind. And he wants us to align that to the Scripture. The Holy Spirit of God is given. The Pentecost is not an easy day. It is a day when the Spirit of God was given to you and me so that we align our mind, our heart, our thinking, our intent, our attitude to that is in the Scriptures. That is the meaning of surrendering ourselves to the Lord as long as we live on the face of the earth. It's a continuous process to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. He will not just grab control of things. You have to surrender to him. Say, Lord, this is my life. My life does not belong to me. It is your life. Take the steering. Control the car. Control my life, O Lord. He would not grab it from you. He would never, ever do that. The Spirit of God is given to us that you and I would come to this understanding that we willfully, with great joy, give our control, surrender ourselves under the mighty hand of God and say, Lord, my life belongs to you. It doesn't belong to me. You saved me. You paid it all for me. We are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is our speciality. We are special people because we have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And God wants us to show this love as long as we live on the face of the earth, so that you and I might be a blessing to someone. The only blessing I'm speaking about is to give the gospel to someone and bringing them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is never too late. It is never too late. Don't think you are, oh, I'm already so much of age. It's not for me. No, it's for you. If you have understood the intensity of what Christ has done for us, how can we keep quiet? People ask us, oh, there is so much of persecution, so much of suffering in India. How can you go around? You know what? It is nothing compared to what Christ has done for us. That is the minimum that we can do for him. and it is the Lord who protects us. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever is willing to lay his life for the gospel's sake, he will be saved, his life would be saved. We go into dangerous places. You know what? Every time we see the hand of God and say, Lord, you have saved us. Lord, you have been with us. And it encourages us to go to a different place where there are the same situations, where there is great opposition. You do not know whether you come back. But you know what? When we look back and see the faithfulness of God in our lives, when I look back and say, Lord, we went there, you were with us. I know for sure you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Every promise in the Bible is for you and for me. Every promise. Holding on to the promise of God in our lives. And then with the power of the Holy Spirit that is given to us, the power of the gospel, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it says it is the power of God to those who are being saved. It is the power of God. We just don't go alone. We have the power of God, the Spirit of God working in and through our lives. In closing, I would like to thank each one of you for your patient hearing. I'm sorry if I have taken a little longer time, but I would like to thank each one of you from the bottom of our hearts for the way that you have been support for the ministry of Bible Brethren. One day for sure, you will know what you have planted, the seeds that you have sown back in India. I do not know, but the Lord knows. One day, when we meet him face to face, you and I would together know how much. I'm not saying we are good, we are faithful. I'm saying the Lord is faithful. The Lord is good all the time. Thank you for being partners with us. Not just from 3 years or 4 years, it's been over 40 years. Right when my dad had friends here, he came and he studied in Winkler Bible School from 74 to 79. Right from that time, Somerville Church has been very close to our hearts. And you guys continue to be very close to our hearts. We are praying for you and covet your prayers for us and for the ministry of Bible Brethren. Thank you. God bless you all. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come into your presence, O Lord, with a hearts full of thanksgiving, hearts full of gratitude for your goodness and for your faithfulness. O Lord, you have been so good to us, so kind to us, a merciful God, a God full of grace. You sent your Son, our Savior, to save us from this sin. And you continue to lead and guide us, O Father. You have put a hedge around us. You are protecting us in every which way. Lord, I do not know the needs of your children here. But you know, O Lord. Lord, I bring every need of them at your feet. May everything be fulfilled in your time, O Father. Bless each one of us who is present here with what we need. Thank you for the word that has gone into our hearing. Thank you for speaking to us. Lord, it is your word, and your word transforms us. Let there be transformation, O Lord. Thank you once again for the time and the fellowship. In Jesus' most precious name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Sarathya, for speaking to us, admonishing us, but also encouraging us. You know, when he spoke about, you know, how comprehensive God really is. You know, he allowed Jesus to come to this earth, but he didn't stop there. Jesus also lived his example to us to help us learn. And then Jesus died. And then he arose again. And yet he didn't stop there. He gave us the Holy Spirit. You know, God, from the very beginning of time, he knew exactly what we as people would need in this life to be his people. So with that, we also want to announce an acceptance of a new member. Please accept as member in the Sommerfeld Mennonite Church, Melissa Hyde, and she is from 67 Osterwick Street South, and who was recommended for acceptance by Pastor Art Weeb. So I'll ask Melissa to please stand, and then I'll ask her these three questions. Do you confess to be a born-again believer, and have you been baptized upon confession of your faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Please answer. Do you have a love for the Word of God and believe it to be the absolute truth? Do you, by the grace of God, commit yourself to serve and love and to live in peace and harmony in the Church of Jesus Christ? Please answer. And so with that, as we ponder God's word, you know, the blessing that it is to us, for those who are able, let us kneel in prayer. The Lord hear all of our fervent, faithful prayers.
Let's take our blue hymnals and turn to page 365, Trust and Obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. What we do is goodwill. He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and cloud in the
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Sathya, for presenting a message this morning. And thank you for also touching on a little bit about your life and experience in India. And I've had many a privilege to listen to Sathya, to his report when I was on the church board. And it's always good to hear how God is working, not just here in Canada, but around the world, and to hear a report from what God is doing through the Holy Spirit in India is amazing. Even that we may not be of the same color or speak the same language, but we are still brothers. We're brothers in Christ. So thank you again. Thank you, Abe, for giving up your Sunday for this morning. Thank you, song leaders and the pianist, for leading us in song. And just some announcements this morning. Tomorrow, Pentecost Monday, there will only be one service at 10 a.m. And also next Sunday is baptism, so there will only be one service as well at 10 a.m. And then also next Sunday, May 26th, there will be no Sunday school for all those who have children that are in Sunday school. And then on the Saturday, May 25th, the youth has planned a fundraiser car wash, and we would like to see you support our youth, have your car washed, and they will also be serving some food. So come out on May 25th, and the car wash starts at 10 a.m. and goes till 3 p.m., and hopefully to see you there. And then just for prayer, in the back of the bulletin, you have those that are needing prayer. Let's not forget to pray, especially Peter Martins, for the cancer on his face. It seems to be progressing, and he's also having a lot of pain. So prayer does work, and prayer is powerful, and God hears our prayers. So don't think that if you're praying that it's not heard. They are heard. And also pray for all the ministerial and their families, Also pray for all the Sunday school students and teachers and youth leaders. And don't forget to pray for our government and the leaders of our province. Thank you and have a great day.
Thanks, Henry. Thank you all for coming, for showing that we are willing to hand in hand work together to glorify God, to make his mission known, because we know that God in his word, he tells us that he does not want the death of one single person. So as we conclude, I want to just encourage you, let's continue to pray for our Bible brethren in India, for Sarthia here and his total crew that is working the ground out there as well, and also doing the fundraising. So with that, let's bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You're now dismissed.